Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in. Okay, Asia.
Honestly, when the bed squeaks or makes too much noise. Oh no, Mo's down for that.
No,
we got Malfoy out here.
No, I wouldn't say that's like a thing that I would say turns me off. That just, I just find that as a funny thing. I just always normally giggle.
Or when you're just banging the house down.
No, but if you, exactly. If the bed is like squeaking or there's a lot of squeaking, so it's kind of funny.
That's cool.
It's like your own soundtrack. Or for some,
do you not have any sympathy for your neighbours, whoever's next door to you, directly against the wall?
Do I not have any sympathy?
Yes, this is why you're Draco and Malfoy. Those filthy mudbloods will listen to me.
No.
This is my soundtrack.
Mizu Radio.
Forever promoting.
Nah, man. Yes, no sympathy.
Nah, man. You gotta live life in the moment and just do what. Yeah, just do what. Go with what you feel.
Okay, so in the future, you've got kids. You're.
Wait. Before you go and depict this situation or create this scenario that you want me to answer a question to, I'm not out here, you know, squeaking beds, you know. let that be clear.
He only gets squeaky beds.
No.
He doesn't look for anything else. Sure. Yes.
Well, going off what that comment or the re-reddit, the subreddit said, I just said, yeah, cool. When that does happen, I find it funny. I'm not trying to say I'm out here squeaking beds all the time, bothering neighbours. No, that's not what I'm saying. But go on.
In the future, you have family.
Mm-hmm.
Would you feel uncomfortable then?
If there was squeaking coming from next door or...
No, you.
From myself.
You.
Yeah, of course. That's completely different.
Why? Because that's how they were made.
You're sharing an intimate moment with other people in the house. Realistically, when family's involved, you have to pattern it differently. You have to choose the time. You can't just, oh, I'm horny, so let's go squeak the bed.
We're not like you, bro. No.
He's trying to turn it on me.
This guy's double like 07 out here. This guy,
you're trying to like turn you. It on me.
Full house.
You're trying to turn it on me.
Full
house. I know through a friend, a woman.
Mm.
She was saying... Her partner at the time was really into the whole getting caught.
Oh.
Mm. He didn't want to get caught, but he was really into, like, we could get caught.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard this.
So before you turn it on me, let me just let you know where it comes from.
Okay.
But still, you're 007. Managed to get your wife pregnant even though the house was full up.
Yeah, come on, man.
Everybody.
How are you doing that?
Full house.
You tell me, do you not have any...
The bed doesn't squeak. That's what it is. The bed don't squeak.
Do you know what it is? I'm a married man. Wouldn't it be weird if I wasn't doing that with my wife?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, think of the context.
We've been here over a year, so we should just not do it for over a year.
Oh, okay, that's what you mean. I thought you meant...
Wouldn't it be weird if my wife and I were not doing that?
Hey, as long as the bed's not squeaking.
I know. I'm downstairs watching... you know, Demon Slayer, finally giving him that once over.
The guy goes, Mizukata. These sound effects are really good.
They said the movie came out in 5D.
This new sound system.
Or 6D. Yeah,
exactly.
It's five. The movie came out in 5D, right? The Demon Slayer one.
Yes.
What is 5D? What? Oh, well, the.
Or 4D?
4D.
4D.
When
you say 5D, that's Yu-Gi-Oh.
Is it? This guy, Yu-Gi-Oh, 5Ds. No, it was.
That's my favorite Yu-Gi-Oh.
Swear.
Stardust Dragon.
Nah,
I really liked it. I really. Motorbikes. They had motorbikes.
Yeah, that concept didn't really. I didn't really understand it. They're just riding perpetually.
Yes.
On these roads that just last for miles and hundreds of miles as they're riding and playing
this game. Were they racing at the same time?
Do you know how difficult it is to just ride a bike? And then to be able to stand on it and then start being, well, I choose this monster.
No, having all them reactions. While sure straight? Is it round?
Hang on.
Are they in a dome? I don't know. AJ would know. It's his favourite Yu-Gi-Oh.
I want you guys to continue. I'm just saying, keep in mind, people may not know what Yu-Gi-Oh is. So first and foremost, define that.
What's Yu-Gi-Oh? Yu-Gi-Oh is a popular Japanese card game.
Yeah, trading card game.
Trading card game, that's the one. I don't know if the anime came first or if it was the trading card game itself. Perhaps it was the anime and then that spun off people wanting to actually live as these people. But essentially, it's a trading card game where you put your monsters down on a battlefield to battle against your opponent. And the monsters are fantastic, wonderful beings who, I don't know, some of them are a bit on the nose. Celtic Guardian. I'm just going to be throwing names out there. What's this guy? Dark Magician. Was Dark Magician actually that deep? Maybe these are just random characters from the show.
Yeah, yeah. You have like trap cards, spell cards, magic cards. I'm telling you, they're listening all the time. Yeah, so they have those types of cards. Trading card game. But back to 5Ds and
4D. That's the whole thing. Or was it this anime? Yeah, the driving thing. So what's the situation? Are they in a some sort of bubble that's contained, which allows them to, you know, like those, maybe circus or some sort of shows in America that I've seen, where they have a massive ball, a caged ball, yeah?
And the motorcyclist rides and the around. Guy goes,
or the woman or whoever goes, rides it. Is it kind of like this, but on a grander anime
scale? No, it's just a stadium, usually. But then,
like a Beyblade stadium.
A huge stadium. A
Colosseum type thing.
No, like a racetrack.
Like,
in real life, a racetrack.
What's the
MotoGP?
No. What's the American version of F1? What's this thing?
NASCAR.
NASCAR.
More like F1.
More like F1, where it's proper.
Yes.
You don't just go in a straight line.
Yes. More like F1.
But with monsters flying around.
But with monsters flying around and stuff.
Swords of Revealing Light.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, cool concepts. Yeah. Do you know, it took over our childhood. We were big fans. Well, I was a big fan. I'm not even getting you guys into it.
I loved it.
Do you know, I loved it. However, Duel Masters, when that came in, that was like, do you know what? There's more to this game. I feel like I might enjoy it more because there's just more going on. Like, you have to put mana down and then you're tapping mana in order to summon. Like, the game gets deeper than I'm just gonna play this, or I'm gonna sacrifice these two monsters to play this.
I feel like it's a lot more tactical. It's more of a tactical. But you know, whether it was Yu-Gi-Oh or Duel Masters or Pokemon, people always got their feelings hurt and their cards lost, and I feel sorry for anyone's cards that I did take because I beat you in the battle.
You said that you were some guy.
No. I went out here some 5D's kingpin duelist.
Riding your motorbike. It's like F1.
I'm sure I had one of them plastic toys. We all had one of them plastic.
Nah, I didn't.
No?
Nah, I didn't. No? I think I really wanted one. I saw maybe one or two people in school.
In school I would have played with it. People would have came in. Shout out to Joshua Curry. He probably had something like that.
Man like Joshua Curry.
Yeah, shout out to Joshua
Curry. It's a Curry. Throwback to hear the name.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I'm going to keep it real. For me, definitely the OG Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In terms of like just watching like the story unfold and stuff like this. Much, much prefer that. Much prefer that. I don't know if I want to... Is there a Japanese dub? There must be, right? I might go back and rewatch that because I've only seen the American English dub.
The characters are quite different.
I'm going to say Joey's a woman or something.
No, it's the same characters, but certain parts of their personalities would have been edited out for Western audiences.
I'm sure Yugi's very different, isn't it?
The
older one.
The Pharaoh. So, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was a trading card game, a manga, and which is a Japanese comic book, and a TV series, the anime. And they've had loads of different seasons with they add on
how. Like Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Came through SPD, Wild Force.
And it upgrades the game as you go along.
Yeah.
Talk about Power Rangers. This is just a quick side note, then we'll come back to what you were saying. I watched this video today, actually, and did you know that from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, three of them got fired? The Black Ranger, the Yellow Ranger, and the Red Ranger. The three of them got fired after the first season because in their contracts, they didn't have correct support. But after the success of the first season, they started asking for more money. So they were like, oh, well, I'm doing all these... like publishing deals, and there's figures of me, and I'm going to these talks and whatever. I'm a big star. This thing's massive. Like, pay me more. The example they gave was Robert Downey Jr. for Marvel, for the Iron Man thing. He got paid $50,000.
Yeah, I heard he got snapped.
For the first Iron Man he did. But by the time it got to Infinity War, blah, 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 like the last one they've just done, he got paid in excess of $71 million. Because his character had grown and the popularity had grown.
Was and basically one of the main guys.
Wasn't it Iron Man against Captain America? Civil War? So that's literally, he's a hallmark character
for the
Marvel.
Better pay him.
Cinematic Universe. So, yeah, just something I had remembered because you said Power Rangers. Yeah, three of them got fired because they thought that the character was big enough and they were just like, no. And what, 20 plus years later, they're still doing variations and people still, who knows, man. Like, to be an actor, is that children's TV actor? To be an actor, period. To be a creative is a difficult task.
Yeah, it's not easy, man.
A difficult task.
I disagree. I think to be a creative... is one of those things where if you are a creative, it comes from within. I know that's just some fancy way of saying nothing, but my main point is it's difficult to monetize creativity fairly.
Okay.
Because the systems that are in place, if you're an actor, I'm not trying to insult actors, right? But perhaps a lot of actors are not the best contract readers. Someone to understand the contracts. Perhaps they don't have an agent, especially when they're just starting off.
Just get what you can get, right? Because if it can put your name on, if it can give you that momentum.
You're excited by the possibilities.
Yeah, of course. Man, I was playing free DJ shows. I was doing that. Because of the excitement. And then the money came and it was like, oh, okay, this is a whole different bag.
What was the money like? Three different shows per week.
Yeah, definitely could have got paid a lot more.
What was the money like? Or was it, you don't give out your financials? How many years ago was this?
That's a few years ago. And you know, it's not even, it's just, it depends on what you're doing. It could be a range from doing an hourly if it's 20 or 50 or 70. It could range.
£70
an hour. Yeah, but you might be doing 2 hours. So it sounds like a lot, but it's not really a huge amount of money that you make. unless you're a very, very sick DJ and they pay you maybe like, I don't know, you'll get a couple hundred for the night. If you're very big, you'll probably get, you know, maybe close to a grand or maybe even more. I don't know. I didn't play at that level. Or have not played at that level. But from what I do know, the money's actually not all that. You have to pay, hence, three nights a week. Some people do five nights a week, bro. You know, and that's so they can do it as a full-time job. Which, yeah, okay. Yeah, it balances out, but really, I think that they could be getting paid a lot more. It's difficult to monetize. And it's not fair, I think, as you were saying. But yeah, please continue.
No, that's my point.
Yeah? Because, I understand definitely in terms of the it being fair. Because you have some of them that are, you know, considered maybe the top of the echelon. And in comparison to what they get paid is nowhere near someone who is maybe, you know, starting off or even doing paid gigs, but it just isn't at that level of iconism.
So one of the underlying problems of this situation is the fact that people do not commonly discuss salaries. Now, this is a conversation I had with a friend of mine, Mags. Shout out to the homie Mags. He probably still hasn't listened to this, but
shout out to you, Mags.
I was having this conversation with him, and we were saying one of the reasons why a company can hire someone, two people to do the same job, like the same position, and pay them differently, is because there's no, oh yeah, this is what the salary should be for this. If you're not connected to someone who can give you that information, and you know, you think, oh, you could Google it or something, it's not that easy to find.
Even going on Glassdoor, which is low-key the snitch, kind of gives you a bit of information. Even to do that, bro, you have to submit, like, your own salary.
Your own, yes.
To do that. Yeah, so it's like, you know what, if I'm going to be seeing everyone naked out here, I got to be naked too.
I had the same experience, and I got right to the last page of the knife, this I'm out.
Well, you didn't want to give them your information.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
What are they going to do with your salary?
It's not that. It's just I didn't want to support them. I don't know these guys. What's good?
Yeah. You got to keep the cards. He didn't want to lay all the cards on the table. Because then he would have had no trap cards, magic cards. No trap hole. Psh, Yu-Gi-Oh reference if you haven't caught that one.
Yeah.
We've got to discuss. And the people who lose out the most in this situation tend to be women. It's a contributing factor.
Contributing?
Thank you. A contributing factor for why women get paid less than men.
Yeah, it's transparency of pay. It's a big thing, man.
Because no one's going to come and say, I'm going to do the same job as this guy and get paid less than him. No one's going to say that.
Yeah, true. Even if, you know, in terms of skill or work rate or whatever you want to compare, and it's like, okay, this person outputs more, can do.
We've got the same job title.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
We do the same stuff.
Yeah. Equal pay for everyone or fair pay for everyone.
Do you know what? That might have happened to me, you know. Now I'm thinking, like, the last contracted copywriting, I was in content writing, I was doing. They hired this person after me, but they were getting paid more than me. But we were doing the same job. We were exchanging notes, sitting across from one another.
You helped set him up, right?
Nah, not even. And it was a woman.
Ah, it was a woman. Out. Nice. Okay. She's a better negotiator than you.
Perhaps, 100%.
One thing that's quite weird for me was a current study is being done in Essex University on negotiation, strength, and where you come from in the world. So, like, your ethnic background. Mm-hmm. And the Africans are not seen to be good negotiators, quite low in the rank.
Interesting.
Why?
The strongest tend to be Middle Eastern women. Middle Eastern women. They're quite strong negotiators.
They're done with the oppression. They're like, what? The same job? They're gonna pay me more. Good. Good, good, good. That's interesting. It's a shame, but how can you tackle something like that? Fundamentally change the way people think or what they're happy with?
No, it's the same problem. It's the same problem. Lack of transparency. We've got to talk. We've got to talk about stuff. Everyone.
Everyone naked.
Right? Everyone naked. We should glass door this.
I came here, everyone naked, so I gotta be naked too.
Be like water.
Put water into a cup, becomes the cup. Yeah, big bars.
Put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. Be like water, my friend.
Put water into a human body. Then what?
Yeah, Mizu, man. Yeah,
Mizu Radio. Forever promoting. I like that more.
Hey, listen, we was out here in the We Out Here festival. And even then, we were showing love. Thank you to everyone who came and showed love and just wanted to have a conversation. Took some pictures as well, supporting the podcast. So, yeah, thank you for everyone. I think, oh man, I'm going to get this guy's name wrong. Liam? I'm going to shout out Liam.
Good old Liam.
Yeah. If your name's not Liam, bro, I apologize.
Like, you know who you are.
It was a long weekend, 4 days. There was a birthday in the mix from one of the sages. So, yeah. Whatever your name is, bro, shouts out to you. Thank you.
Shouts out to Emmanuel as well.
Yeah, shouts out to Lacey.
Because on the drums, this is the first time I've seen this guy play at this level. And I was blown away.
Very cool. Yeah, this guy. The prices of the tickets were... They were a lot.
Yes.
Do you think it was worth it?
No.
Why?
There was a lot of contemporary, popular music.
So are you going based off your own interests?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, you have to. Well, are you spending all that money?
No. Is it worth it in terms of, as an experience, as a whole? Not necessarily just the fact of going and enjoying the music.
Not for the price. So... cheapest you can get tickets we saw when we were looking around was like £200.
That's for the 4 days, yeah.
For 4 days. And that's just for entry. That's not your accommodation. That's not your food. That's not your travel to get there. That's literally so you can get a ticket. Not even for parking. You got to pay for parking separate.
That's per person. Do you know what? Actually, I think that's not too bad pricing, you know? For 4 days, for that many acts,
yeah, you got a point.
For that many acts, I actually think that's really cheap, bro.
Yeah,
you do. Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lamb.
I'm the oldest, Okello. But my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child Oz, aka Wizard King.
Yeah. Some festival prices are wild. But then again, hey, the artists, the promoters, the people putting out, everyone has to get paid. So I think it's the experience is also part of what, you know, kind of makes it worth it.
Was it worth it for me? Osman?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time, man. To be honest, not all the music was good. And not all the music was good all the time. Even the people who were good, they weren't like incredible the entire time, in my opinion. I didn't see anyone there who I was just blown away from start to finish. Perhaps Steam Down, because from start to finish, they really sort of got me. I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah, they were.
I haven't heard this sound before. This is dope.
Shouts out to Steam Down.
100%. Shouts out to Steam
Down. You guys made us boogie.
Yeah. Real talk. But... that aside, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed spending it with you guys in particular. It was my birthday. So, to be able to...
We're going to put the effects in there.
I know you're the editing god out here. I hear you. Yeah, man. For me, that made it. We could have been anywhere. We could have been chilling on Grafton Street. Central Northants. Just a couple of cans between three monkeys out here, just figuring out how to navigate the world. And I would have been happy. So the fact that there was cool music and vibes, and
yeah,
we got a chance to meet people and promote the podcast as well, I think that's just the cherry on top. So was it worth it? Sorry for all that rambling. Yeah, it was worth it, man. It was worth it.
Would you do it again for £200, though?
No, see, do you know what? In my younger years, in my youth, I was the party guy. I was the fire starter. People, the tune comes on, people look to me to see what skank am I doing.
He says this as he has a picture of Kakarot. He's also got Super Saiyan Goku, yeah, Super Saiyan 2, Super Saiyan 3. And is that the Super Saiyan God did they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all of that on his t-shirt. So when he said he was the fire starter, he really means it.
I was the party guy and I burnt myself out. So in terms of like partying, I don't have this like, oh man, I'm so desperate to get to another festival, or I'm so desperate to go clubbing. I'm really not.
Man, what did that girl say she went to 7 in 1 year?
Yes. Yeah. Shout out April. August. 7 festivals? Yeah, shout out August. 7 festivals in 1 year? Nah, I physically couldn't.
Mm.
I physically couldn't because, no, man. No. But I enjoyed it. What about you, Mo? Was it worth it?
Yeah, man. He sold it to me. Mo sold it to me. I doubted it first, but after him, I was like, actually, that was a great experience.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Especially with just being removed from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it gave that feeling to me.
Mm.
Yeah, man. Just being where the vibe was.
The vibe?
The vibes. Going where the vibes was. Man, I just love music. It's a passion for me. Anytime that I can get to see a performance and there's some sort of vibe that's there or creativity. I mean, I know you guys didn't really dig Thundercat that much. But yeah. Again, for me, I thought the experience was amazing. And
yeah. Thanks, guys. I'll give my 2 cents on Thundercat. I think his studio stuff, I'm a fan of.
Mm.
That live set he did at We Out Here Festival, I didn't enjoy it. I think the spectacle of one of the greatest bassists in the world right now, that's incredible in itself, cool. But if I'm looking to vibe and dance and move around, man, the bass runs are incredible, but they're just art. Mm. And it's like that. Like you can enjoy art for the art, but also, if you try and generalize it, it's quite difficult to enjoy it in that common space. Yeah,
to be in the midst among, like inside the actual art itself. I hear you.
And that whole festival vibe, it's almost this wave of energy. As you're skanking, you're dancing, the person next to you is dancing, you look over there, the person there is dancing as well, you're like, oh, okay, we out here together. Thundercat doing the mad thing, this person's, I don't know, standing, not even looking the right way, this person's swaying, talking man. To the friend, one person's got the eyes closed, swaying, cool, enjoying the thing.
Couldn't catch
but the beat. But for me, now I'm out. I'm going to stick to his studio stuff for now. Maybe one day I'll meet him, we'll chop it up, and he'll convince me of the importance of the prominent bass line in all of his music. Taking nothing away from him, again, one of the greatest bassists, perhaps musicians, in the world to date. Mm. That's my 2 cents.
Oh, never heard of the guy before. I went to the festival and it was an experience. Is it an experience I would have chosen? No. However, having had the experience, it's like, that was cool. That was, wow, what on earth was this?
What was your explanation of it? R2-D2 on drugs.
Still love it, that's true. This guy said R2-D2. Yeah, wow. I'm sure I did that the night when he was.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
gosh, yeah. But yeah, it was
It was a spectacle.
I enjoyed. Yeah, definitely a show. That was cool, man.
True, true.
So, We Out Here Festival is a jazz festival. It happens in the Cambridgeshire area. And it plays really contemporary, popular, traditional jazz. It's the strangest thing I've ever been a part of. I've been to one festival before, not a jazz one. So the experience of a jazz festival for me was amazing. You could just have someone on the cello going hard, boom, 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 boom.
Double bass.
The double bass? Mm. The big one. What's that? Double huge. Bass. It's called a double bass?
That's where the dum dum comes from.
I thought it was called a cello.
Nah, cello's a smaller one. You sit down. It's like this big.
Ah.
Two stories there. So with the double bass, I used to play, you know.
I had no idea.
Your dad played the double bass?
Yeah, I used to play. Middle school. But to be true, I only did 4 lessons. And then the 4 lessons with an actual teacher in the school. And then the music teacher of the department said, oh, we're getting like a band together. Would you like to be a part of it? And I was like, yeah, cool. The only reason I went there is because this girl who I really liked.
Girl in my dream.
Who played violin. She's like so good. You'd say, oh, play Lady Gaga, blah, blah. She'd be like,
oh, sick.
Super awesome. I think she's into fitness now. Some madness. Like muscles, proper McGee, like really doing it. So bravo to her. But the only reason I went there is for this girl. I don't know how to play this thing. So I stand there with her. The guy says, play an E.
Oh, wait, you didn't. Oh.
And I've got the sheet in front of me, and I'm looking at the sheet. And it makes sense. The beginners. So it tells you that the finger placement. So I'm looking, I'm like, E. And I go, goom, off tune, obviously. And the guy goes, a bit higher. And I'm like, goom. I'm like, you know how to play this thing. Let's swap roles, man. You're making me like a fool in front of the girl I like. Annoying. So after that, I was like, man, I don't really enjoy this. I don't like it. But also, the prices for the lessons and then to buy a double bass as well was through the roof. I told mum, she was like, have some sense. That's the first one. The second one, so what was that? It was
the double bass and then the cello.
Cello. Oh, so this is not even like a funny story, but like end of year performances. I did some drama thing, and mum came to watch. I did some drama thing. We did Midsummer's Night Dream.
Dream, yeah.
Yeah, so we did that. I forget the character who I was. I was fighting somebody.
Shakespeare, no?
Yeah. But then there was this one guy, Ollie, like lanky as hell. He must have been like 6'3", 6'4". And you must think like all the rest of the kids are 13, 14, so he's an absolute giant amongst everyone. But he was one of these guys who's like super tall, but he was kind of bent over as well. So he's always just always leaning to one side.
Crouch.
Trying to fit in.
Maybe.
Poor guy.
But all that aside, the guy could play cello, man. Like on some anime level where the vibrations are coming out of the thing, the vibrations caught mum, she was crying.
What?
Caught mum, she was crying. I'm backstage and I can see it. I'm looking and I'm just like, whoa.
To be fair, our mother is a sensitive soul.
She is. But also, a beautiful heart. Like, afterwards, she went over to him. She was like, that was really incredible. That was really incredible. Yeah, really touching.
Shout out to mum, man.
I wonder if she even remembers that, you know? That's a vivid, vivid memory I have. There you go. Segways. Double bass and cello. Those are the two stories I have for those. No more.
But yeah, a lot of saxophones as well.
A lot of saxophones.
At the festival, a lot of saxophones. I'm glad I haven't been surrounded by so many saxophones and hearing just so many saxophone solos and just hearing them go off.
Mm.
Honestly, for me, that was just so beautiful, man, just to be a part of that. Man.
There could be, at times, 20 minutes of not an artist's voice being heard, just pure instruments.
Mm.
Some of those drum solos.
Some of the drummers, man, that... blew me away.
I think Thundercat's drummer was amazing.
Mm. Yeah, agreed. He was going
in. Agreed.
Thundercat's drummer was sick.
I reckon across the board. I don't think Yusuf any of Day's the drummers
sick.
Really sort of let the band down. Yeah, incredible. There was a bassist for Yasmin Lacey. She was funky as
she
hell.
She was cold, bro. I've seen her twice.
There was also the bassist for maybe Ezra Collective. Maybe. Were we in by this point? No, man. I'm trying to... Maybe it's someone else. But massive afro. Short girl. Light skin. Oh.
There was Steam Down.
Steam Down? Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, she was proper rocking. Afro going everywhere. In. I was like, man, I'm catching that vibe.
Definitely some amazing performances that we were able to see. She was cool. But yeah, we out here, in here.
Yeah, out here. Shout out Giles Peterson. If you want to jump on the pod, if you want to, I don't know, promote our podcast in your next event, I think it would be mutually beneficial because people need a platform to discuss, to have conversations, as AJ's saying. Like, we need to be naked out here, just have conversations. What better way to do that is to utilize someone who already has access to those masses who need to have these conversations.
You said a buzzword for me, which sums up my experience or some of my experience at the We Out Here festival. Naked.
Mm.
I have never seen so much human flesh in one place.
Mm. I hear you.
And it wasn't even hot, you know.
That was UK weather, let's be real. It wasn't hot.
It wasn't hot, man.
It wasn't hot. It was nice.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if there was a no bra policy. But I don't think anyone wore bras there.
Mm. Well, it's just... the atmosphere of a festival is just more relaxing and freeing.
Is that quite normal for festivals, would you say?
I believe so, especially if there's like people who are staying for the entire time, camping and all this kind of stuff. Of course, like, we only got a drop of the ocean of that whole experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think as we were walking through, we saw them all showering, or did maybe it was just me and Mo? But yeah, like massive not communal. Maybe it was communal. Yeah, massive communal showers for just everyone to just go in and...
Like mobile blocks, like, you know, the back of lorries? The back of lorries.
Yes, exactly.
It was like them. They just left those blocks and it was like showers inside of them.
Mm.
You just walk in, walk out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like queues going up the wazoo, man. I was like, no, man.
What would you do, just not shower? Say effort.
It's just, oh, man, there's just so many germs there. I might... And this might sound gross. I might just take wet wipes or go off site and... Oh, no, there's just nowhere else there.
not where we went.
Wash your face. You have to. Brush your teeth. Those are essentials. But in terms of like just... Oh,
I would
4 days? No, I'm showering, man.
I would just forget those 4 days ever existed. I'll go through those 4 days and just forget it ever existed, to be honest.
Lock it in the vault.
I'll make sure when I go home I have a proper bath.
But while you're there, you ain't washing.
I'm not washing in that, bro. No.
Take wet wipes.
4 days no washing.
Yeah, okay. 4 days, it just sounds too much. Like to do the whole thing and then you're camping? No.
Yeah, no, I just walk about.
And you're dancing, so sweating.
Cool. People drinking, no, man.
Pissing.
No.
Yeah, it's not the nicest of places, but it could have been worse, bro.
Well, we had our own accommodation, so...
Yeah, definitely.
We didn't have to experience that. We showered every morning.
Shout out to Tola.
Shout out to Tola. Well, do you know what? Speaking on women, this is another segue. I'm bringing them all in.
Bring them in.
There's an article that AJ sent to us regarding some men in Pakistan. I'm just going to read the headline and then like the first little paragraph, so bear with me. Hundreds of men in Pakistan investigated over mass sexual assault on woman. woman, one woman, singular. So the police open up a case against roughly 300 to 400 unidentified people, all captured on a video.
What?
Hmm.
There's a video of this.
So the woman was sexually assaulted and groped by a crowd of more than 400 men in a park.
400 men?
In Pakistan.
What is this? Do-
while she was making what is this, a Sparta? TikTok video. Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I've seen something like that before. And I've spoken to people, like blonde hair, blue eyes girl. She's gone to India. One of these like free spirits, like Russian girl. And she went over to India, but she said that there's just, as her and a friend would be sitting on the beach, they would feel super uncomfortable because there's just, say, 30, 40 people surrounding them, all guys, with their phones, just chilling. With their phones, recording. Like, this is a strange thing-ish for them. Like, they don't just get blonde hair, blue eyes. Also, perhaps it's almost a fetishization of the traditional Caucasian woman of blonde hair, blue eyes. Perhaps it is that. But yeah, for sure. Like, she dealt with that the entire time, but she really didn't feel safe by herself. I was like, wow. Like, it takes big cojones to decide to do that, knowing that when you go there, there's these lecherous men who are going to do something like this. 400 men.
Bro, 400 men.
Do you know how intimidating that is?
Nah, man. And they... What? What did they do?
Sexually assaulted her and groped her. Poor
lady.
Mm. It's a crazy situation. That's mob mentality, isn't it? You see one guy do it and you're like, I want to do it too. Bang, bang. Two guys do it. 3, 4, 10, 15
I don't know if that's how it works. I don't...
200, 300, 400?
So you gotta give some goodness. You gotta give some background though. The thing is, TikTok's had this weird relationship with Pakistan. Very weird relationship.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Because TikTok has offered the Pakistani community right from the lowest of caste in their social hierarchy, right from the lowest, farmers.
Mm, right? Yeah, I saw that there was like a farmer who had a TikTok and it kind of blew up.
And it blew up.
Yeah.
Completely changed this guy's life.
What does that mean, like, to their lowest thing? Like, what has TikTok done specifically to give this guy access to it?
Exist.
Okay. I mean, you mean like the concept of, or the, just the thing?
The ability TikTok gives mm-hmm. these people to connect has never been seen before. And it's, of course, in the West or whatever, but it's had such an effect that you got people who are homosexual doing TikTok videos, blowing up, becoming like these influencers and getting death threats from half the population of the country.
That's deep. That's insane.
The government went to ban TikTok. Freedom of speech, of course, that's what they were targeting. But one of the, like, it went to their Supreme Court, and one of the allegations the government was making was that it was corrupting their society.
That's interesting.
Women and women's rights, that you have TikTokers, is that what they're called, TikTokers?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just, this language is so ridiculous sometimes.
It's a beautiful thing that we can evolve it like that, I guess.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never thought that would be a thing. Maybe I did because I was a kid and I was like, TikTokers. You know, when you just construct words. Yeah, now we're living it.
It's like, so, first and foremost, TikTok got banned in Pakistan.
Mm.
Yeah, but Pakistan is an ally of China. And China was like, sort this out. So,
because TikTok comes from China.
Yes. So, you know, I'm saying China was like, sort this out. You know, they had their conversations and they made some alterations where there's a bit more control for the government in Pakistan with TikTok. However, it came back. So I guess that's why they're using it. But my when I last heard about it, which was like 2020, so last year, they were trying to ban it again. So I don't know what the current... I guess the current situation is you can use TikTok.
Yeah. But at your own peril. Pakistan is the sixth most dangerous country in the world for women, according to the Thomson Reuters Foundation. That's an insane stat. Sixth most dangerous country.
I mean,
for women specifically.
400 men.
Yeah, man.
On one woman. That's disgusting. And that's sixth. What are the other countries? Yeah, like, the other countries are just... It's a sport.
Yeah, no, this is insane.
It's a sport right here.
Oh, man. Well, how do you tackle that? How do you tackle that if half a population can send death threats to someone using TikTok? That's something that perhaps we see as something quite minor, but how do you tackle that society mindset of, I don't know, quite closed off and misogynistic?
It's difficult because the thing that TikTok gives, as AJ mentioned, is access. It gives a lot of people access, but the problem with access and having access is it increases your vulnerability. You know, the more that you're there, the more that you can be visible, the more that you are seen, the more times that there are where someone could come in, you know, with 399 other guys and come and do a, you know, is difficult. I don't know if it's something that could be managed. I think we're too far gone already. Social media. Yeah, no.
I think apocalypse now.
No. In a sense of trying to control it because it's worldwide. You know, Pakistani farmers are using it and blowing up, bro. This is not for Instagram influencers. This is people that are living completely different lives in a completely different construct of life. And they now have that access. You know, they've now been exposed. You know? Once you see something...
It's never happened before in the history
of our world. I think we're already too far, man. We have to just work with it. Would you get TikTok? Knowing the capabilities and that is like make it safe for the poor.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art. From Lyo Ransom Kuti, 1900 to 1978. Kuti was one of the key figures in the fight against British colonialism in Nigeria. She was the founder of the Abayo Kuta Women's Union, which was instrumental in protesting colonial taxation. As an activist, Kuti fought tirelessly for women's rights to political representation and to empower the most marginal segments of society.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.